power in the blood of Jesus. And as we just sang, it doesn't ever lose its power. We thank you there's power in your word. And your word never loses its power. We lose the power. But Lord, we come to you today and we ask that you restore whatever is lacking in our lives with the power that comes right from heaven. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. If you look at the top of that chapter, what you will see is a little title that says Zion's New Name. Many Bible scholars believe that Isaiah in verse 1 is pouring out his heart in prayer. I want to read you this again. It's just five verses. I want to read to you from the NIV version that I have here. Just follow along. Let me read it again. It said, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name." If you have your own Bibles and you haven't underlined that already, do that now. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or your name or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. In verse 1, we see Isaiah pouring out his heart out of his zeal and his love for the people of God. And he was praying without ceasing because he wanted God to intervene on behalf of his people. Israel used to be known by other nations. Other nations used to call Israel, "Oh, you know, Israel, they're mighty. They're powerful. They're righteous. They're God's people. You don't mess with them." But something happened. Their own disobedience had caused them to lose that good name, that name that they used to have. And that even God is bad. Now, this is a country that used to be known as mighty, powerful, God's special people. In verse 4, now those same nations were calling these same people deserted and desolate. Sometimes you get labeled with a bad name. How many of you know that? Maybe you've even experienced it in your own life. Sometimes you get a nickname growing up that you really didn't care for, given to you by people who maybe were just rude, Maybe it was a name given to you because of mistakes that you have made, or even one mistake. You know, the church is good at labeling people too. We all know the story of Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples. Thomas was that one disciple who wasn't there on Easter night when Jesus showed up and showed himself to them. And when he came back, they shared that they had seen the Lord, and he doubted. Now, Jesus didn't label him doubting Thomas. The church did over the years. Even though all the rest of them had doubted, he got labeled with that one term. And even though it was only that one time, he was powerfully used as the Lord in the future. Sometimes you get labeled. You get names given to you. I've heard parents in talking to their own children and saying to their children, "You're just so stupid." You know, when you hear something long enough, you start to believe it yourself. Or maybe it's kids who start referring to someone who may not be part of the group, if you know what I mean, as, you know, well, they're just losers. That kid who was always the last one to be picked for a team when they were choosing upside. Oh, you get stuck with the reject. The kid who maybe not be blessed with necessarily the best of looks outwardly, but he grew up hearing other people refer to him as ugly. Then we get older, and you have someone who make mistakes. You have someone who has an affair. And in years to come, they go, "Oh, you mean the adulterer?" Person who God delivered from drinking. And in years to come, "Oh, you mean the drunk?" The troublemaker. When you hear something long enough, you begin to identify with it. But here's some good news. Here's some really good news. God is in the business of changing names, and God can change your names. Verse 2 that we had just read before, "You shall be called by a new name." Now, he was speaking to a nation. He was speaking to a group of people. But nonetheless, if he can change the name of a nation, he can change the name of an individual. This group of people, God's people, had fallen to the point where other people called, you can just imagine, other nations. Oh, you mean that deserted group of people? You know, the people who kept referring to their God, but God just doesn't show up for them anymore? That desolate group of people, that deserted group of people. And imagine how Israel themselves began to feel when they began to hear other nations, you know what they're calling us now? But because of God's mercy, he says, "I'm going to change your name." He says, "I'm going to call you Hephzibah." And Hephzibah means my delight is with her. Now that means this. You can only be called something if people see that in you already. Are you with me? you know, I'm not going to call you something unless I can first identify that with being part of who you are. Hephzibah means my God's delight is with you. There was going to come a time when God was going to change their name to the name where, oh, you know them? God's delight is just all over them. Don't mess with them. Or Beulah, which means married. Another, the nations that used to call them deserted and desolate was going to come to a point where he said, just don't mess around too much with them because they're married to God Almighty. Others need to see you living by that name before they will start to call you that name. In other words, whatever new name God has for you, you have to receive that name by faith. Whenever God changes a name too, he changes a name, there's a purpose for what God does it. God changes someone's name for a purpose. He sees people for who they can be, not who they are, and he starts to call those people for what and who they can be, not who they are. For example, God changed individuals' names throughout the Bible. He changed Abram's name to Abraham. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means a father of many. And God said to Abraham, I have a promise for you. Your children are going to be as many as the stars in the sky. He didn't have a single son yet. He didn't have any children. And God says, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, where your new name is going to be father of many. And so his name was changed to Abraham before he had any children. Are you with me? I can imagine maybe some of the neighbors saying, Abraham, father of many, who are you to start changing your name, to start calling yourself a father of many when you don't have any children? And maybe Abraham says, that's how God sees me. Peter, who we know, who was originally Simon. Jesus picked Simon Peter as the one who was going to take over for him when Jesus left this earth. Now, those of you who know about Peter know that Peter had some issues. Any of us have issues. Simon means shifting sand. Peter means rock. When Jesus met Simon, he was sort of all over the place. He loved Jesus. He was very zealous for Jesus, but he had a habit of putting his foot in his mouth all the time. And he'd shift from this point to this point. And before he had even changed, simply because he acknowledged who Jesus was, Jesus looked at him and go, you know what, Simon? I'm changing your name. I'm going to change your name to Peter, which means rock. Rock Peter went on to deny that he even knew Jesus 3 times. Imagine maybe some of his disciples, after he had denied him, I don't know what went on in that upper room. And maybe some of them are off to the side going, he doesn't seem much like a rock to me. But Jesus changed his name based on who Peter would be, because Peter would become a rock. He would become a rock. And thank God he was. The new name that was given to each of these people was a reflection of how God saw them, how they would become, not who they were. And it takes faith to see yourself in that way. Back to Isaiah chapter 62. My new name, my identity is in my Savior. My new name and my identity is in my Savior. And I want you to look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 62. It says, the Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter Zion, see your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. Your Savior has come. My Savior has come. His name is Jesus. And when my Savior Jesus came into my life, he changed my name in some respects. I used to be known as sinner. But he changed my name to forgiven. Now, I still sin. But my identity is with my new name. So that when I do sin, I can quickly go to my Savior, Jesus, and confess to him what I've done, and he goes, oh, my son, forgiven. Congregations, individuals not only need to find their identity, congregations need to find their identity. Congregations walk around today calling themselves, I've heard people, maybe not in these words, but the whole idea, referring to themselves as, oh, we're just a desolate group of people here. Some congregations think of themselves in that way, and they call themselves. But God says, no, I need you to refer to yourself. You know, when God looks at this place here, and don't mistake me, I'm not saying we're better than anybody else, but we are the children of God. And let me tell you, his delight is in us. His delight is in us. We may not be as big as some other places. We are certainly far from perfect. But when God looks at us, he sees a group of people that he can call Hephzibah. My delight is in them. I like being called that. People have called themselves also just, we're just a deserted group of people. But God wants us to think of ourselves here, call ourselves Beulah, which means married. And here's the good news. In the New Testament, it says we are the who of Christ, the bride of Christ. You can ask, people may ask, well, who are the rest of the people in your congregation? He said, just call them Beulah. You become what your new name means. But you need to receive it by faith. Now, when Jesus Christ came into my life, God's grace brought with it a new name. So I want to put on the screen here some names. just a few of the many names. By God's grace, when you can just call me an overcomer. Call me forgiven. Call yourself a child of God. Call yourself faithful, victorious. I don't know how victorious you are after what you did this past week. And you're with me. Yeah, I still make mistakes. I still don't always live victoriously, but it's my faith in Christ that gives me my new identity, and my identity is not what I did. My identity is in who changes me and gives me my new name. I am a servant of Christ. I am a bride of Christ. I am a soldier of Christ. I'm redeemed. I'm a vessel of honor. I'm holy. How can you call yourself holy? I heard you what you said this past week when you were standing in the line at the supermarket. I'm holy. In Christ, I am holy. I'm healed. I'm a friend of God. Boy, some people, imagine you saying to her, who are you? Let me tell you who I am. I am a friend of God. Mouths will drop open. Who are you? And I says, I'm just telling you how God sees me. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. Some people think, well, maybe you might become a saint if you die. No, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we become part of his kingdom, and I'm a saint right now. You are a saint right now. Saint Eric. Saint Colette. Saint Latanya. We are saints right now because of our new identity in Christ. I'm chosen. You're the apple of God's eye. Well, that'll make people's mouth drop open too. They'll just think you are just so stuck on yourself. No, it's not. I'm not stuck on myself. And you're not saying this in an arrogant way. All you're doing is, you know, this is what my God calls me. Beautiful. I'm beautiful. I'm hopeful. I'm joyful. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little different today. Sometimes when you come to church, they give you a name tag when you come in. Put your name tag on. Who are you? We're going to do it differently this week. We're going to give you a name tag as you leave. When you come forward for communion today, the ushers are going to give you a name tag when you leave the altar up here. Stay with me. Follow me here. And before, as you return to your seat after communion, you need to fill in your name tag with your new name. Maybe it might be, I'm chosen. I'm forgiven. And you know, there are hundreds of other names in the New Testament and in the Bible as to how we are referred to. What do you want your new name to be? And it's a name that has got to be found in Christ. How he sees you. So when you leave here today, the ushers are going to give you a name tag. When you get back to your seat, ask yourself now, what's my new name going to be? And fill in your new name and stick that name tag on you so that when you get ready to leave church today, you can leave church going, there's somebody whose name is beautiful. Here's somebody's name who is chosen. His apple of God's eye. find your name. It can be one of these. It could be something else. But you ask yourself now, if God were to give you a new name, which he can, what would you like to identify with? Give it some thought. Father, I pray right now that you'll just let people, some people may find this very difficult to do. But Lord, help us to see this as something, as how you see us and not we see ourselves. If you walk around, and this happens with Christians, let me back up and say it this way. If one of my children, when they were growing up, were to walk around and say, I'm just so stupid. I just don't know why. I'm just no good. And if I listened to one of my children say that, after a while I would say, stop it. That's not who you are. That may have been what you did, but that's not who you are. And stop calling yourself that. What's no different with God? If I'm walking around and I said, I'm just nothing but a miserable, stinking sinner. I'm just no good. I don't know what. I'm just so stupid. Your Heavenly Father is in heaven going, stop that. I sent my son to die for you, and you need to be able to identify who you are through the blood of Jesus, who died to give you a new name. You got your name? Got your name? Because when you come back from communion, you're going to be given this name tag. You're going to put it on so that when we end up worshiping the Lord by the end of the service, you're all going to have your name tags on, and you're going to look around, and you're going to see some people with new names. You good?
Heavenly Father, these are your children. Your word says that children are a heritage of the Lord. Many of these children, Lord, they yet have that understanding that they belong to you, that they are yours. But Father God, we stand in the gap for these children today. Oh God, we beseech you to hear the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man. That's all of us, Lord, saved by the blood of Jesus. We come into agreement for these children, O God, for them to come to a knowledge of you. We know, Father, that is your will, that they would call on the name of Jesus and be saved. Father God, we pray for them not only to be saved, but for them to be filled with your Holy Spirit, committed to you. Lord, we pray that they will become a generation who will usher in the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, we ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon them. Protect them. Guard over them. Bring them to that place of desiring you in their life. Bless the children, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And if during the week, whenever